What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on today's edition of the show. As always, I'm alive. I'm not dead. I know we took 3 days off here on what is a daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, but your host here, Lou DiBiase, me talking in the third person like an idiot, is trying to graduate. So just had to take a couple days here to work on the final couple days of schoolwork, and then I'm off into the real world, hopefully doing this for you. Then basically when I got a lot of time on my hand, you think you get a lot of Locked On Eagles podcast. Now, just be ready in a couple weeks, especially now that the Eagles have hit the field. Rookie mini camps opened up today, and we're going to get into more rookie talk today about what to expect from these guys this season and then down the road, because I want to kind of go back and compare it to some, you know, past rookie performances from Philadelphia Eagles players, where really when you look at it, not a lot of crazy splash rookie seasons with Philadelphia the past, I would say, you know, like 10 seasons. So we're going to get into that and talk about the rookies. But yeah, they hit mini camps today. Doug Peterson talked to the media about that and about Carson Wentz, which we'll get into in this first segment. Jersey numbers came out the past few days. So looks like LJ Fort's taken Jordan Hicks' number 58. Vinny Curry got number 75 back, which is big for Josh Sweat. Him moving over to 94, that's going to be big for a potential breakout season. Going from 75 to 94, a big one. Anderson Dejo, public enemy number one, it seems like, for compensatory pick Twitter. That's apparently something that is developing on NFL Twitter, is the comp pick stands, and specifically run by Jimmy Kemsky. And Anderson Dejo, a lot of people probably are picking to be one of those, you know, comp casualties, if you will. He chose number 42. 40s. If your number's in the 40s, you're not looking too hot. 44 is okay if you're like a big power back. It was good back in the day if you were a fullback, right? That kind of player. But I don't know. There's not a number in the 40s to me. I remember what Trey Burton was, number 47, right before he switched over to 88. If you're a number in the 40s, it's not looking too good. But yeah, Vinny Curry gets his number 75 back. Miles Sanders wearing 26. Which I'm sure they had to first make sure Eagles legend Walter Thurmond and Jalen Watkins were okay with that one. J.J. Arcega-White has number 19. Fellow Eagles legend Miles Sanders, Miles Austin, I'm sure they had to get the approval of. God, 2015 was a miserable year for the Philadelphia Eagles. But yeah, it's been a kind of a slow past couple weeks since the draft has been over. And again, this is kind of the dead zone, right? Whereas the offseason is basically a season in its own right in the NFL with free agency. And of course, even before that, the combine and the Senior Bowl, even I enjoy. And, you know, big time draft fans are into the Senior Bowl and pro days. And then, of course, the draft. So now, though, we're kind of just waiting. We're kind of just trying to coast up until training camp. But there's going to be some things to talk about because there are a lot of roster battles for the Philadelphia Eagles. And with, I think, June 11th is when they start up their mandatory practices. So they'll hit the field then. And to talk about Carson Wentz, to kind of get into it now before we get into the rookies in the final two segments of this Friday edition of the show, Doug Peterson got agitated, as he always does, when peppered with Carson Wentz questions, because it is rookie minicamp. He wanted to only talk about the rookies. Of course, the most important athlete in Philadelphia in Carson Wentz is going to be talked about, and there's going to be questions asked about him when he still has not been fully cleared. I mean, he's been on the field. Peterson said he's been on the field in phase two. He wouldn't go into detail about if he's been fully cleared, but basically by the way he was talking, it still seems like he is not a 100% go, and I'm starting to think he might not be ready for OTAs just based on Peterson said, you know, they're encouraged by his progress and that he's still working. And to me, again, I'm still trying to keep the cautious yet cautiously optimistic approach. I am nervous because I keep seeing that story in the back of my head from December that was talking about the stress fracture injuries in a back and how. And again, the medical side is just not. I went to school for journalism. I did not go to get my PhD. I am not a doctor. But hearing that these injuries possibly could never heal, then hearing that it's normally a 3 to 4 month recovery, and right now we're in month five or six, we're getting there. And I'm getting a little nervous, of course, because it's the most important piece of the franchise. But at the same time, if Howie Roseman said they would extend him right now, they've got to be feeling pretty optimistic. They got to be feeling pretty good about where Carson Wentz is right now. But again, we got to make sure that this back injury can get behind him so that he can hopefully take off and get that bounce back huge 2019 season that maybe results in comeback player of the year. Maybe it results in an MVP if he returns to his 2017 form. Remember, he was the Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes, and hopefully that this injury can go away so he can really move forward with what is a loaded offense. But Doug Peterson, again, got into it a little bit today. He said that he's been on the field in phase two. They'll continue to go forward with a cautious approach, it seems. He didn't say that specifically, but, and then of course in the OTAs, I'm sure we will get more details, because at that point it's either, all right, is he ready to go? We're going to be able to talk to Carson Wentz. And if not, then we got to start thinking, all right, what's the deal? What's the severity of this back injury, which Wentz has had before? This is the kind of thing that would make Wentz injury prone. It's not the hurt finger at North Dakota State. It's not the torn ACL a couple years ago. It's not the cracked rib his rookie season, week one against Tampa Bay in the preseason. All those injuries combined doesn't make you injury prone, because to me, those injuries are all separate. None of them were going to be extremely severe outside of the torn ACL if he was expected to be the starter at least his rookie year. And even the freak injury of hitting his offensive lineman's helmet with his finger at North Dakota State, you know, those are kind of miscellaneous rare injuries that they're not going to repeat themselves more often, whereas this kind of back injury, it could. So again, I'm still feeling okay about it, because we're still in the range of where you should expect him to be about ready to go. And we don't have full details yet. He has been on the field, so that's good to know. But yeah, this injury is scary, because once again, there are cases where it never fully heals. The back is something you can't mess with, so they cannot rush him. I liked what my guy, shout out to our boy Lawrence, a loyal, consistent listener on Locked On Eagles podcast. He was even talking. We were talking on Twitter today, and you know, he even said, let's not pull this as an RG3 all over again, right? Or even Carson Wentz last year was really rushing to get back for week one. I agree with that assessment. I think last year was supposed to be his redemption tour, and now it's going to be redemption tour part two. So they got to make sure that they scale him back, make sure that he is on the right track. Be as cautious as you can, because now that Nick Foles is gone, this is Carson Wentz's team. And you go as far as Carson Wentz goes now, because I don't know if they're going to have the same luck if Nate Sudfeld takes over at 6-7 down the stretch of the season. Can he do what Nick Foles does? I don't know. So I it's not fair to really ask that of any quarterback, considering what Nick Foles has done as a starter in the NFL. But that was all we got so far on Carson Wentz. But we will know more. Again, June 11th is when we should start really getting a better understanding of where he is with that back injury. Once again, we got to preach caution, and hopefully this back injury can get fully healed. While you are more susceptible to suffer this injury once you've had it happen multiple times like Wentz has, if it can get fully healed, I trust Wentz based on his style of play. It is more reckless than, let's say, a Jared Goff or a Josh Rosen with his mobility and his never-say-die-on-a-play kind of attitude. But at the same time, I think from rookie year up until year three, he grew tremendously with knowing when to get down, when to get out of bounds, when to call a play. I don't think it's fair to label him as reckless like a Lamar Jackson was, or even in our Philadelphia days, Michael Vick or RG3 with Washington. I actually did a whole piece on LockedOnEagles.com, which you can check out if you just go to the search bar and type in Carson Wentz and play style. Went through this whole film of what he did this year running the football, and before that back injury, he was playing smart, he was getting down. The problem was is when he was sliding, he was still getting hit late, and there were no flags because they did not protect him. The refs did not protect him like they do other quarterbacks, i.e. Tom Brady. So I think once this injury does get behind him, I'm going to feel optimistic about Carson Wentz's health moving forward. But once again, we just got to make sure that we hear that it is 100%, which we will find out more about this summer. All right, let's take a break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, what should we expect from the rookies year one? Are there going to be any splash rookies? Is there going to be a rookie of the year candidate in Philadelphia? They really haven't had one of those in a long time. Could we see it be, I mean, Andre Dillard, again, we'll get into it the next segment. it's probably going to be, of all of the draft class, between those second-round picks and Miles Sanders and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, do those guys have the potential to do it? What about, you know, past rookies? What should we expect, maybe comparing them to some past rookie performances? Should we expect Miles Sanders to have a Brian Westbrook type of rookie year, or LeSean McCoy? We'll get into it. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, guys, Louis DiBiase again, and today we're sponsored by our good friends over at ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process, but today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. It's ZipRecruiter.com, and it's for us, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. The first day, 80%. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn, LockedOn. ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. They're the smartest way to hire. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Friday edition. Welcome back. I'm sure you missed me after those 3 days, but we're back talking Eagles. And by the way, we got a really good show for you tomorrow as well. So for my my guys that stay in on weekends and continue to listen to and to absorb your Birds content 7 days a week, I'm going to be joined by a good friend of mine, Meadville Tribune sports columnist in the Pittsburgh area, helping with Steelers coverage over there. Worked with me on NFL coverage up in Buffalo on 91.3 FM WBNY, a big draft guy, big NFL guy in general, Jordan Hanskin. He's been on the show last year. He helped me form a new version of the Philadelphia and Pittsburgh Steagles. He's going to come on tomorrow, and we saw on this tier maker generator on Twitter. So it was just a fan, but he did the whole quarterback tiers, and we thought, considering we disagreed with it so much, that we're going to create our own quarterback tiers in the NFL, because I think Carson Wentz, where he's being put in a lot of these, you know, tier rankings, quarterback power rankings, even like fantasy rankings kind of tell you where people view him right now, compared to the likes of a Patrick Mahomes, a Jared Goff, even a guy like Deshaun Watson, who has been rated in rankings I've seen a lot higher sometimes than Carson Wentz. So that's what we're getting into tomorrow. That should be a fun weekend podcast to kind of wrap up the week. And if you missed on Monday, I redid the draft as if I was Howie Roseman, with my mind experiencing how the draft broke down, what I would have did at the time, not knowing what happens after the Eagles picks, but knowing what happens before them, right? So I put myself in Howie Roseman's shoes at pick 21. Do I move up to pick 22 and take Andre Dillard? Do I stay at 25? So that was a fun podcast on Monday. I do recommend you check that out as well. As for today, we are getting into the rookies and what to expect from some of these guys. And look, I think Andre Dillard, you're not going to expect a splash season unless a bad scenario plays out where Jason Peters gets hurt. And you really don't want that, even though I'm pretty optimistic about Andre Dillard. Incredible pass protection reps at Washington State for years. He showed that he can protect the quarterback even when on a consistent level, mind you, top five in pass protection grade from PFF, despite Washington State throwing more than any college team in FBS. Andre Dillard, to me, could step in right away and play. But they're not going to have to do that, which is awesome. You can let him develop behind one of the greatest left tackles in NFL history with one of the best offensive line coaches ever in Jeff Stoutland. I'm that high on Stoutland. I think he is one of the greatest offensive line coaches that the NFL has seen. And it's a great situation for Dillard. But if all plays out well, Jason Peters is your left tackle for 2019. I think the splash rookie year, I don't know. I think it maybe comes with Miles Sanders and maybe J.J. Arcega-Whiteside if something plays out. But for the most part, it's funny, the Eagles really haven't had a lot of splash rookie seasons in quite some time, right? You don't see Eagles players winning Rookie of the Year. I don't know if it's because of the positions that they do select. I mean, they take a lot of linemen, a lot of pass rushers that rotate through. you know, a lot of they took Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was a splash start, at least in 2016. He was the favorite to win Rookie of the Year to start for sure. When they started off 3-0, he outplayed Ben Roethlisberger in that Week 3 home game against the Steelers. Carson Wentz was, and at one point, I mean, then they took down Minnesota. Wentz was the leader early on, but of course, in that Dallas 1-2 punch of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott took off, and Wentz kind of. He struggled to carry, especially with a little bit of some mechanical issues that rookie year. He struggled to carry Doriel Green Beckham and Josh Huff over the finish line in a brutal and battered Ryan Matthews. Lane Johnson was a great starting rookie, right? Contributed big time on the right side at right tackle. But not again, this is about flash, too. It's about what's going to win a guy a rookie year. And Lane Johnson, that was never going to happen with Lane Johnson. Fletcher Cox had 5.5 sacks his rookie year, which was really good in 2012. But once again, 5.5 sacks, defensive tackle, wasn't going to really do the job, at least for the NFL on a national scale, a national perspective. And it really is because they haven't taken a lot of skill position players early on in drafts. Nelson Agholor was a disaster the first couple of years, even though they took him in the first round. There really hasn't been a lot of guys that you could consider choosing to be a Rookie of the Year candidate for Philadelphia, but I think the guy that has the best chance of that this year, because running backs transition from college to the NFL so much easier than other positions, Miles Sanders really does have a good chance. Pro Football Focus, actually, I was really surprised. They had him second, only behind Kyle Murray, as most likely to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, ahead of Josh Jacobs, who was third, and ahead of a guy in Josh Jacobs who is going to get the bell cow work in Oakland. Now that Isaiah Crowell is out for the season, Marshawn Lynch stepping down from his position with the Raiders at running back, acted like it was an executive the way I worded that, but Jalen Richard's still there, but I would have said Josh Jacobs is more likely, but I mean, PFF giving Miles Sanders a vote of confidence, and I do like their reasoning. It's because he's behind. I mean, running backs succeed so much more when they have the type of offensive line that the Philadelphia Eagles do. I mean, once again, look at what Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, always I got to keep battling that demon, and LeGarrette Blount did down the stretch of the 2017 season when the offensive line really got going. Even last year, Josh Adams was able to have some really good games when the offensive line started to pick it up the second half of the season. And Wendell Smallwood was able to grab those 4 yards and 5 yards in that 5-yard hole. Nothing more for Wendell Smallwood, but nonetheless, the offensive line makes running backs look better. You add the dynamic skill set Miles Sanders has with his cut ability, with how hard it is to take him down, his contact balance, getting down to the second and third level, making corners and safeties and linebackers miss. He's got good receiving ability. And in Doug Peterson's offense, that's very creative. He gets the most out of his offensive playmakers. I could see Miles Sanders being a candidate for Rookie of the Year. Now, the one thing that I think Jacobs, again, has that I mentioned is volume. I think that's something that, like, if you're going to put money down in Vegas for who wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, I would be concerned for Miles Sanders. I wouldn't be. Look, I think Miles Sanders would be the second most likely outside of Kyler Murray if a guy like Jordan Howard wasn't in Philadelphia already, if Doug Peterson didn't already have a track record for, and Deuce Staley, mind you, for rotating running backs. But I do think it's, I could see it this year because they did take Miles Sanders in the second round. You don't take a guy that high to be just one little rotational part of your backfield. Eventually, when you take a guy like that and you talk about his three down ability and you compare him to LeSean McCoy, that means you're clearly high on him enough to the point where you can imagine him being your, even if he's the lead back in a committee, even have the upside of being just the workhorse, and you have Jordan Howard and Corey Clement really complimenting him, but for the most part, it's Miles Sanders. They're more coming to spell him. It's not, okay, we're rotating no matter what. This is the strategy we're sticking to. And we're not going to ride the hot hand. It's no, like, this is Miles Sanders' backfield. So I could see eventually that happening, and I could see it happening his rookie year. I think something to compare it to, like, let's look at LeSean McCoy's rookie year in 2009, which is a cool year for McCoy because he was rocking the number 29 jersey, which is a great, by the way, we're going to do a jersey podcast in a couple weeks, which I'm really looking forward to, like, to talk about some of the coolest Eagles jerseys you can own, some of the worst, some of the funniest. One of the cool gems, if you're an Eagles fan and you want to get a jersey, LeSean McCoy number 29, that's a baller jersey purchase for Eagles fans out there. I've been looking to get one myself. But that year for McCoy, he had 945 total yards from scrimmage. He had 600 rushing yards, over 300 receiving, four touchdowns. He became the guy later on in the season when Brian Westbrook just could not stay healthy. I could see that. I could see Miles Sanders, even with Jordan Howard getting a lot of carries, even Corey Clement being part of the puzzle, I could see Miles Sanders, you know, sniffing at 800 to 1,000 yards from scrimmage if they utilize him in a creative way in the receiving game, too. I would like to see, even if a guy like Jordan Howard's on the field, I could see them using Miles Sanders in a way, getting him in space because, again, his footwork is just so damn impressive. As long as he commits to the move that he's going to make and doesn't bounce around too much behind the line of scrimmage, like even McCoy has done in the past and Josh Adams did last year, I could see him, you can line him up in motion, put him in the slot, line him up with some linebackers, and take advantage of that mismatch. If they use him the right way, I think Miles Sanders has the best chance of making a splash rookie season that the Eagles have not had in quite a while outside of really Carson Wentz's start of his 2016 season. So let's aim for that. I think 2009, I think that would be close. I don't think that's going to win him Rookie of the Year, but I think that's the floor. I think that's the floor for a second-round running back to me with his kind of talent. I really do think that he's going to eventually this year take over as that feature back in the backfield. Jordan Howard's going to start off as the lead ball carrier. He's going to get a lot of the goal line work. He's going to get a lot of the short line, short yardage touches with his, you know, his big size. But I do think Miles Sanders has a good chance. I think he might be really one of the only ones. We'll get into next segment. We'll talk about maybe J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, maybe Sharif Miller. But I think Miles Sanders is the best bet for a big, impactful rookie season. I think now long-term, Andre Dillard's going to have the best impact of this Eagles 2019 draft class. I think Arcega-Whiteside also has a chance to be even better than what Miles Sanders is going to be at rookie as in this rookie class. But I think for 2019, I think the best bet of who to expect the most out of, it's Miles Sanders for sure, especially with how this offensive line looks right now. It'd be really cool, and it would really hurt the anti-running back stands out there if Miles Sanders won Rookie of the Year. We'll be right back. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Guys, remember the time that you were always ready to go? It's time to get that confidence and performance back to their prime days. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this just isn't for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants to extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your free shipment when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping and you will get your first shipment for free. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase joining you this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. We are getting into the rookies, what to expect of them their rookie year. Can we see any splash years from one of these guys to make a big impact on this team? Again, long term, Andre Dillard's going to be that guy at left tackle. I think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can be your new Alshon Jeffrey eventually on the outside. I could even see Arcega-Whiteside this year making a big impact if Nelson Agholor got traded at some point during the season. Like if Agholor was a deadline type of deal and you could get a third round pick for him. Let's say, look at even last year, Detroit trading Golden Tate to the Eagles for a third-round pick. And I don't think it's that, even that could still happen even if the Eagles are in contention. Let's say Arcega-Whiteside is having a Dallas Goedert-like rookie year where he's not playing a whole lot, but when he's out there, you see the splash plays, you see the ability, you see the talent, especially in the red zone. I mean, Dallas Goedert scored four touchdowns, five if you include his touchdown in the wild card game against the Chicago Bears. He only had a little bit over 300 receiving yards last year, but you could tell to the point where a lot of people think Dallas Goedert already is going to be one of the best tight ends in football next year, and he's behind one of the top two in Zach Ertz. So I could see something playing out where Arcega Whiteside is really looking good in the red zone. He's scoring touchdowns. In limited playing time, he is showing flashes, and the Eagles want to showcase that more, and they're comfortable with him inside and rotating Deshaun inside and Alshon, and if they can get a good offer for Nelson Agholor, I could see it happening. But once again, I think Miles Sanders, especially, by the way, Miles Sanders at rookie minicamp today, rocking the visor. Big time. I'm a big time look good, play good guy. Miles Sanders rocking the visor is going to be big time for the brand. It's going to be big time for the swag game. And he's the guy to make the big splashes. But I could see Arcega Whiteside more so having a type of season where you think at the end of it, it's again kind of like what you feel about Dallas Goedert right now, where that guy is going to be a staple of this offense for Carson Wentz for a long time. And you're not going to see a crazy, really, you're not going to see it show up in the box score as much. It's not going to be eye-popping his stats just when you type them in on Pro Football Reference. But when you watch the games, you'll see, all right, this guy can really be something moving forward as part of this future on offense for the Eagles. There could be injuries too, though, so I would not be surprised if Arcega Whiteside had a really good rookie season. But once again, much like Dillard, it would have to be out of necessity if Deshaun Jackson got hurt or Alshon Jeffrey did or Nelson Agholor. And we don't want to go back to the days of week 2 and 3 last year where the Eagles are just barren at wide receiver. Sharif Miller, I think, could make a pretty good impact. I love his speed. I think he's raw as a pass rushing product out of Penn State. I do think he could beat out Josh Sweat for that fourth rotating spot, kind of be the new Chris Long from the 2017 days where you had Barnett and Graham as your 1-2 punch on the edge, and then you rotated Vinnie Curry and Chris Long through. Vinnie Curry's going to be that third guy this year, but now really that fourth spot, unless they sign somebody else, thank God, by the way, the Ziggy Ansah stuff can just end now. It's just, like, he's a good player. I couldn't take this hearing his name anymore for the Eagles. I mean, this is the fourth pass rushing spot. Normally, especially with Malik Jackson now inside, not having to take him off the field and having Tim Jernigan get in there as well on the rotation, they don't need to push edge rushers inside as much. So the fact that you already have three guys that have been proven to be able to make plays on a Super Bowl winning team in Graham, in Barnett, and in Curry, that fourth spot to me should be trying to find out what you have in these two raw guys in Sharif Miller and Josh Sweat. I think Sharif Miller can make a splash type of season, but he's got to beat out Sweat. And once again, I don't know. I mean, I like Miller a lot, almost as much as I liked Sweat coming out last year. But Josh Sweat, a lot of people think, could have a breakout 2019 season. Regardless, I think one of those two can make a big impact. If Miller can beat out Sweat, then you could see, all right, in pass rushing situations, if the sack number goes up a little bit, maybe Miller could make a name for himself in the defensive rookie side in that conversation. But for the most part, I think he's going to be someone, once again, that you're continuing to develop for the future. So, I don't know, man. I think Miles Sanders, again, he is the guy for a big, impactful rookie season. They took him not only to be a future part, but Sanders right away. I mean, we talked about it. There's not a lot of spots that a rookie this year was going to make a big impact, but the one that they were going to is a do-it-all running back, and that's what Miles Sanders is. So I think he could make the biggest impact that a rookie has made, or the splashiest since, Carson Wentz. LeSean McCoy in 2009 was pretty good. Deshaun Jackson, his rookie year in 2008, he had 912 receiving yards. So Deshaun made a pretty big impact with McNabb that year that they made the NFC Championship game. But in a lot, not saying they haven't had good rookies, haven't had good draft classes in the past, but they really haven't had those splashy, impactful rookies that, you know, not fans from teams around the league, other teams, the media, they start noticing that player right away. Whereas now everybody knows who Lane Johnson is. He's one of the best tackles in football. Fletcher Cox is the best defensive lineman, not named Aaron Donald, if you ask me, on the interior. So, and maybe even in the entire NFL, on the even counting edge rushers. But that rookie year, though, we haven't had a lot of rookie classes for the Eagles that instantly you're like, wow, he had a big-time season. I think if there's going to be one guy, I could see Arcega Whiteside doing it with certain scenarios playing out. But for the most part, I really think it's Miles Sanders. And I think the floor we should be striving for is close to what that LeSean McCoy 2009 rookie season was. Even with Jordan Howard there and Clement, I wouldn't be surprised if it's lower because I still am hoping for a bounce back year from Corey. I think Jordan Howard could be really good in situational duties at running back this year, but I have high expectations for Miles Sanders based on the type of player he is, based on where they took him. I really do think he could have a big 2019 season, and once again, with the visor, that is a it's a big time, big swag move on Miles Sanders' part. Thank you for joining me on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Once again, we'll be back tomorrow for the quarterback tiers. That's going to be a fun show with my buddy Jordan Hanskin, once again of the Meadville Tribune in Pittsburgh, and also from NFL Radio on 91.3 FM WBNY in Buffalo. If you miss any of our past shows, you can check them out on LockedOnEagles.com or any podcast platform. As always, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DBACLOE, and my co-host Gino at Gino_LOE. As always, thank you for listening, thank you for downloading, and let's go Birds!